Now for God's word to and for us from the First Testament prophet Jeremiah. I'll be reading from the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34. Surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning, I just want to take a moment of personal privilege and thank you all for being here this morning. Especially thank those of you who have made a special effort to get here. We have several former members and current members of our congregation who no longer live in the area who have joined us this morning. And it is so nice to have you here. And we thank you for being here with us. Those of you who may be visiting with us this morning, we are so glad to have you as well. And those of you online, I think that perhaps there may even be some folks from Forsyth, Georgia and Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. online this morning or a little later in the week watching the recording. And it's so nice to have you with us as well. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. As is so often the case, we have a familiar story here. This one may not be quite as familiar as some, but it is one that you've heard before. And we invite you to listen to this story with new ears to see how it speaks to you today, here and now, in this time and this place. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. And the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was being tormented. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side and called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." And he said, the rich man, Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone is raised from the dead. For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Box Canyon at Ghost Ranch, New Mexico, is a thin place. A thin place is defined by the Celtic tradition as a place where the temporal and the eternal meet, where the visible and the invisible mingle. And to get to Box Canyon, you have to hike up a gently graded stream bed that is easily crisscrossed as you make your way up this, most of the time, dry stream bed. And farther up the stream you get, the larger the rocks are that you're walking around, and some even over. And the walls of the mesa get closer and higher as you walk up the stream bed. You get to the end of the stream bed, and you think you've come to the end because there are giant boulders in your way. But if you know to do this, and if you have the will to do so, you climb over those boulders. And when you climb over those boulders, you are in Box Canyon. It is a natural cathedral with high concave walls that arch over you. And except for the sound of trickling water from several places in the canyon wall, the silence encompasses you. There's a large boulder with a flat top near the center of that opening. It nearly appears like a natural altar. It is truly, truly a place where the temporal and eternal meet and the visible and invisible mingle. And once you get there, you don't want to leave. Now, about halfway up that trail, there's a sign. It's before you get to the actual box. There's a sign that points off to the left on a very small trail, and that sign says, to Upper Camp and Beyond. Well, if you take this trail, it's winding and it's steep. And it goes to a natural campsite that's several hundred feet above Box Canyon. And beyond. I love that phrase, and beyond. It goes even higher to other levels of the Mesa Montosa, which overlooks all of Ghost Ranch. And once you get up to the Mesa Montosa and you look down on Box Canyon, you discover something amazing. You see the same dry riverbed stopping And below that is where Box Canyon is. Box Canyon is a natural geological formation from a river with a massive waterfall from thousands of years ago. And that waterfall carved out that beautiful cathedral below. And as you look down from the top of the mesa, you have a totally different perspective of Box Canyon. And what we had thought and experienced as eternal becomes more temporal. And what was invisible to us before is now visible as we see the larger picture, because from beyond we discover eternal and invisible. We discover the thin place that is next until we get to the next thin place. Well, both of our scripture readings this morning take us beyond. They take us beyond conventional thought and beliefs about life and death. Both are stories of thin places where the temporal meets the eternal and where the visible meets the invisible. Jeremiah tells us about a relationship with the eternal presence of God that goes beyond the written rules, the rituals, the ceremonies, all of the things that we usually associate with religion, and takes us to a new relationship, or a covenant, the scriptures call this relationship. It takes us to a new relationship that is far more intimate, more personal, while at the same time, universal. This new relationship is one of the heart and not of the head. Jeremiah says that God says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Intimacy. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall know the Lord. From the least of them to the greatest. This is a promise of the presence of God in each and every human being. From the least to the greatest. No longer unreachable in rules and rituals, but right here in our hearts, in our very breath. Every human being, from the least to the greatest, has the capacity to know within the eternal presence of God in, through, around, not only us, but in all people, in all things. In the gospel reading, Jesus tells us a story that takes us beyond our beliefs about death and heaven and hell to a different vision of life here and now. Because as is typical of many of Jesus' stories, he turns the table on just about everything. We think he's talking about one thing, but nope, he's really talking about something else. First, we have to note that contrary to what most of us have learned growing up in the Christian world, Abraham is the gatekeeper of the afterlife, not Saint Peter. And next, it is the opulent, successful rich man who goes to hell. It's the ragged, loser, poor beggar that goes to heaven. Finally, after all of the rich man's begging and dickering with Abraham, which, by the way, is nothing more than a last attempt of this man to use his privileged life. After all of that, we discover that the story is not really about death and the afterlife. It's not really about heaven and hell somewhere else. It's really about life here and now. And Jesus makes this point starkly clear in the final exchange between Abraham and the rich man. Listen to this again closely. Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. And the rich man says, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. The great irony in this story is that Jesus tells us quite plainly that the point of the gospel is not where we go after we die. The point of the gospel is how we live our lives here and now. And more importantly, he says exactly what Jeremiah tells us. Every human already has everything they need to know and to live in the eternal presence in our lives. That's what that little phrase, you've already got Moses and the prophets. They've already told you everything you need to know. And you haven't listened to them. And isn't it kind of amazing that Jesus, in this little foreshadowing of the resurrection, says, even if somebody comes back from the dead, you won't listen to them. Now, how true is that? Both of these scripture passages clearly challenge us to wake up, to pay attention to here and now. And I might as well just come out and say it. Do you know what it means to wake up to what reality really is? It's being woke. That's what woke means. It means that you are awake, you are aware of where you are and who you are and how you are supposed to relate with other people. Forget what these politicians try to tell you about it. Jesus himself, the prophets, Moses say, wake up and pay attention. And to be woke includes letting go of the past, but learning from it by telling the truth about it. We will never correct our mistakes if we don't own up to them. Being woke means start where you are. Look at where your feet are, where they are planted, and that's where you begin. Look at the injustices, the violence, and poverty of our world, and get busy working toward justice and peace and prosperity for all people. Being woke means to use what you have. Look around at the gifts of the universe that surround you. No matter how large or small, every human being has a gift to offer. And being woke means you already have everything you need You have, what more do you need? You have the eternal presence of God, the universal Christ, the Spirit of creation, whatever name we want to give it, you have it inside you. And that's who you are. Last week I spent a day at Disney's Hollywood Studio Park with Peg and our grandson. So we spent the day exploring all things Star Wars. And we dabbled a little bit in the Toy Story. So I will close by borrowing some language from those experiences. And I will reduce and summarize Jeremiah and Jesus to say that the eternal presence, the force of God is with us in our hearts, here and now, as well as to infinity and beyond. Amen.
From T.S. Eliot. Many of you have heard me use this quote before. It comes from Eliot's Four Quartets and the poem Little Gidding. It's only four lines, but it says so much more. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. Friends, it's been a pleasure. And now, I have to regain my composure because you didn't think I was going to leave without singing, did you? Come on. You know you're better than me, don't you? So I've got a little song here, not just for those of us here, but this is a song for the folks in Forsyth, Capitol Hill, and Clearwater. And hopefully I'll be able to get through this. If I don't look at you, please don't be offended. It is very intentional. And my apologies to Billy Joel, because I've actually changed a couple of his words too. Sure, safe and strong to heal the loss of all things past until a new time comes on. I spoke to you in cautious tones, you answered me with no prayer. inheritance. And still I fell, I said too much. My silence is my self-defense. And every time I realize, it seems I myself at the thorns. And so it comes, and so it goes. And so I suppose. But if my silence gives you more, then that would be my last mistake. So I will share this room with you, and you can have my heart that breaks. This is why my eyes are closed. It's just as well for all I've seen. And so it goes, and so it goes. And we're the only ones who know. And so I chose to be with you. That's if the choice were meant to make. But you can make decisions too. And you can have a heart that breaks. And so it goes, and so it goes. And we're the lucky ones. Hello.